Let's turn in the Word now to Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah 20, we'll be reading that chapter and chapter 21. Jeremiah 20, verse 1 through 21, verse 14. Beloved, let's hear now the word of the Lord. When Pashur the priest, the son of Immer, who was chief officer in the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, Pashur had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in him in the stocks that were at the upper Benjamin gate, which was by the house of the Lord. On the next day, when Pashur released Jeremiah from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, Pashur is not the name the Lord has called you, but rather Magor Misabib. For thus says the Lord, Behold, I am going to make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and while your eyes look on, they will fall by the sword of their enemies. So I will give over all Judah to the hand of the king of Babylon, and he will carry them away as exiles to Babylon, and will slay them with the sword. I will also give over all the wealth of this city, all its produce and all its costly things, even all the treasures of the kings of Judah, I will give over to the hand of their enemies, and they will plunder them, take them away, and bring them to Babylon. And you, Pashur, and all who live in your house will go into captivity, and you will enter Babylon, and there you will die, and there you will be buried, you and all your friends to whom you have falsely prophesied. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You have overcome me and prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction. Because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. But if I say I will not remember him, or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. For I have heard the whispering of many, terror on every side. Denounce him, yes, let us denounce him, all my trusted friends, watching for my fall, say, perhaps he will be deceived so that we may prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread champion. Therefore my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will be utterly ashamed because they have failed. With an everlasting disgrace they will not be forgotten. Yet, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous, you who see the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have set forth my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord. For he has delivered the soul of the needy one from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day when I was born. Let the day not be blessed when my mother bore me. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father, saying, A baby boy has been born to you, and made him very happy. But let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew without relenting. And let him hear an outcry in the morning, and a shout of alarm at noon, because he did not kill me before birth, so that my mother would have been my grave and her womb ever pregnant. Why did I ever come forth from the womb? To look on trouble and sorrow, so that my days have been spent in shame. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah sent him to him Pashur the son of Malchijah, and Zephaniah the priest, the son of Maaseiah, saying, Please inquire of the Lord on our behalf, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is warring against us. Perhaps the Lord will deal with us according to all of his wonderful acts, so that the enemy will withdraw from us. And Jeremiah said to them, You shall say to Zedekiah as follows, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I am about to turn back the weapons of war which are in your hands, with which you are warring against the king of Babylon and the Chaldeans, who are besieging you outside the wall, and I will gather them into the center of this city. I myself will war against you with an outstretched hand and a mighty arm, even in anger and wrath and great indignation. I will also strike down the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They will die of great pestilence. Then afterwards, declares the Lord, I will give over Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants and the people, even those who survive in this city from the pestilence, the sword, and the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their foes, and into the hand of those who seek their lives, and he will strike them down with the edge of the sword. He will not spare them, nor have pity nor compassion. You shall also say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who dwells in this city will die by the sword and by famine and by pestilence, but he who goes out and falls away to the Chaldeans who are besieging you will live, and he will have his own life as booty. For I have set my face against this city for harm and not for good, declares the Lord. It will be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he will burn it with fire. Then say to the household of the king of Judah, hear the word of the Lord. O house of David, thus says the Lord, administer justice every morning and deliver the person who has been robbed from the power of his oppressor, that my wrath may not go forth like fire and burn with none to extinguish it because of the evil of their deeds. Behold, I am against you, O valley dweller, O rocky plain, declares the Lord. You men who say, who will come down against us, or who will enter into our habitations? But I will punish you according to the results of your deeds, declares the Lord, and I will kindle a fire in its forest that it may devour all its environs. And that's the word of the Lord. So last Lord's Day, Jeremiah was preaching the word of the Lord as the prophet and telling Judah and Jerusalem through its elders that they would become like that clay pot that he shattered on the ground. Well, when we know when men preach and in application, when all bear testimony of the truth of God, but in particular here when men preach and rebuke sin of the people with the word of God, there will be persecution. And here he's persecuted. Jeremiah is by a man named Pashur, who was a priest, a chief officer in the temple. He had Jeremiah beaten and then put in restraints. So basically a jail near the temple. And Jeremiah released the next day, and that's somewhat interesting because that same scenario is what's happening in Acts with the apostles that we're looking at this evening. They were put in jail by violence and then released the next day. Jeremiah being released the next day, he tells Pashur that this isn't his real name. The Lord isn't considering him by that name, Pashur, but rather by a name that means terror on every side. And so the prophecy comes, more preaching comes, that Pashur will have terror on every side of him and his friends will die by the sword. Judah and Jerusalem will fall to Babylon. And Jeremiah then complains to the Lord, lifting up his petitions to him with praise also for the Lord. And yet even at the end of chapter 20, he curses the day of his birth. He seems he's reminded of his own sin. He's also very clearly reminded of this rebellious people. Why has the Lord, he's asking basically the question, why has the Lord raised me up as to be this prophet to a people who are rebellious and not going to listen? And he's complaining about that to the Lord. Even, you see how hurtful it was for him to go through this, and a struggle for him that he's even cursing the day of his birth. And that's how rebellious this people was. When we go to chapter 21, King Zedekiah desires Jeremiah to inquire to the Lord for him. And this is the king, Zedekiah, we've heard his name before, who was the king when Babylon destroyed Jerusalem in the late 600s BC. And the word here is that Babylon is attacking. So they're in the process of attacking Jerusalem. And the Lord's response to Zedekiah was that ruin of Jerusalem was inevitable. It was coming. It's certain. And any of Judah's fruitless attempts to preserve Jerusalem are in vain. Even some who will survive the pestilence, the sword, the famine, they still will be carried off to captivity in Babylon. The situation is so bad that it will be better, he says, for you people to hand yourselves over to the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, than to remain in Jerusalem. For there, then you could guarantee that your life would be saved, in other words. Not saved as in delivered as in what we're talking about, what they needed to repent of, that they would be delivered, but they would preserve their life for a time. Because Jerusalem will be destroyed. But the Lord still holds forth His mercy in that. Even in the certain judgment to come, a word that doesn't sound like it, but verse 12, to the king Zedekiah, a word to repent. He says he's coming to judge because of their evil deeds, implying they must turn from their evil deeds. They are not to trust the city or the walls of the city. They're not to trust their own security because it will fail. And this passage, beloved, we are to remember that when we proclaim the truth, that we are putting ourselves in the place of being persecuted. But that should not, as we'll hear in Acts, stop us from proclaiming the truth. Especially in this, pray for your elders who shepherd you and guide you in preaching the gospel. And often, as we've heard before in Jeremiah, we are to turn from our sins. Not to harden our hearts when we hear God proclaim unto us His word. We are to not harden our hearts, but we are to turn back to Him. So let's pray and ask for these things to help in many things as well. Our Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for how You have blessed us, Your people. You have not seen fit to destroy us or bring upon us sword or famine or pestilence because of our sin. And yet, Father, we know that there is coming a great persecution. And maybe it will not be for our generation, or maybe it'll be the next generation, or even the generation after this. Our Father, who experiences this great persecution. Our Father, we ask that You would prepare us for that time. That You would cause us to proclaim the truth, the Word of God, all of it, as we'll hear in Acts, the whole message of life. And that people would hear and believe. And that You would strengthen us for that task. And cause us not to fear men, but to fear You, the Lord God. Father, we have sinned in many ways. We've sinned in ways like Babylon's sin. We have committed idolatry. We have gone after other gods of this world. Perhaps not physical wood statues or things like that, Father, but things of this world we have turned to and focused our life's attention on. And Father, we ask that You would turn us from that sin. And You would turn us from the remaining sin within us. That You would reveal the sin to us. And as You have with the prophet Jeremiah, and through the Word of God, You've revealed the sin of this people. And Father, we ask that You would reveal that sin that is within us and still clings to us. That we would be able, not like Israel, but or not like Judah, but like Your church, that we would turn from it unto You. Father, we ask this day that You would deliver our governing authorities from darkness and the evil one's grasp. You would cause them to love You above all things, that they would rule according to Your word. And that they would bring for us, Your people, peace and the freedom to worship You. Father, above all, we pray for their souls that You would save them. Father, we also ask that You would strengthen our bodies. Father, when we go out into this world this evening, we will realize once again in various ways that our bodies are frail and weak. And so, Father, strengthen our bodies. Strengthen those who, again, who are struggling in their body. Father, bodies that are being kept from worship. Father, that is not what you desire. And so we plead for them that you would heal them so they can, at the very least, worship you with your people. And so much more, we ask that you would cause them to serve you in all things. Father, we ask that you would sanctify our souls. There's some here who are struggling because they are seeing their works and they're not good. They're often falling into sin. And that is not a comfort to them, but a great concern. Father, we ask that you would encourage them. Encourage them in your Son. Cause them to believe the gospel. And having believed the promises, know that they have your Spirit. And producing fruit, that they would see that they have the Spirit present in them. And you would comfort their souls. That they would be a great servant to you. Great servants to you. Father, now as we continue in our worship, we ask that you would bless us in the reading and preaching of the Word, also as we focus our hearts on the Supper of the Lord. You would show us again the gospel of your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.